Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents ACT and Applied Behavior Analysis, a practical guide to ensuring better behavior outcomes using acceptance and commitment training, by Thomas G. Szabo, Ph.D., BCBA-D. Foreword by Jonathan Tarbox, Ph.D., BCBA-D. Narrated by Asa Siegel. Foreword. I had the extraordinary fortune, purely by chance, to study for my Ph.D. at the same university where Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, ACT, was developed, the University of Nevada at Reno. So I started reading and casually thinking about ACT a little over 20 years ago. However, I suffered from the all-too-common misconception that if you could not define something easily in behavior analytic terms, then it must not be real behavior analysis. I wanted to learn about ACT, and I believed it was important, but it didn't pass my rigid criteria about what made something real behavior analysis. After spending years grappling with conceptually analyzing the ACT hexaflex in terms of behavioral principles, I finally felt as though I got it reasonably well. I came to the conclusion that Steve Hayes or Kelly Wilson could have casually told me 10 years before, had I simply asked, "Yes, ACT is behavior analysis. It came from behavior analysis and a behavior analytical understanding of human language, and it is still behavior analysis because proper ACT training involves analyzing, conceptualizing, and designing ACT interventions in terms of behavioral principles." And so, about 10 years ago, I found myself ready to seek out formal training in ACT. At the time, precious few behavior analysts were training others in ACT, and no trainings whatsoever were publicly available that were specifically designed for professionals in applied behavior analysis, ABA. I was fortunate enough to stumble upon the opportunity to be trained by Dr. Lisa Coyne, assisted by two of Steve Hayes's graduate students at the time, Douglas Long and Tom Szabo. During this week-long training, I was immediately impressed by Tom's ability to make the ACT concepts and procedures accessible to me, both on a practical level and on a purely behavior analytic conceptual level. Unbeknownst to me, Tom had been conducting ACT trainings for behavior analysts and staff working with individuals with developmental disabilities for some time and had already developed a skilled training repertoire. This was in 2013. Shortly after my initial training experience with Tom, he finished his Ph.D. and further expanded his training and consultation practice. 3 years later, in the fall of 2016, I found myself shaking with fright on a stage while assisting Tom in training behavior analysts in ACT. It was horrifying. I was sure, damned sure, that I wasn't ready and I didn't belong there. I still remember, clear as day, that I felt like I had ants crawling all over me. But I had already tried to avoid this opportunity in conversation with Tom multiple times, and he had shown me the evidence that argued that I could be of service. And so there was nothing left for me to do but take that one small, horrifying step. Step up and be scared. Be imperfect. My career has never been the same since. Now, 7 years later, it is my great pleasure to be asked to write the foreword for this book, a book that the field of ABA has needed for many years. But why a book on ACT for behavior analysts by Dr. Thomas Szabo? Tom has a rare combination of skills that uniquely qualify him to write this book. Tom is among the very few people in the world who have deep knowledge in basic research, applied research, real-life practice, and the conceptual bedrock that forms the foundation for all three. For example, precious few people can weave together concepts such as the matching law, delay discounting, and behavioral momentum while discussing how elementary verbal operants grow into complex generative relational framing behavior, all in the context of an autistic child striving to navigate a social world designed and controlled by neurotypicals who don't understand them and treat them as less than because they are different. Tom's repertoire of simultaneous great depth and breadth within behavior analysis is uniquely critical for writing the first major book on ACT for behavior analysts, because ACT pushes us to expand applied behavior analysis into levels of complexity that have rarely been attempted in the past. This expansion cannot be carried out by simply implementing ACT procedures commonly used in clinical psychology and praying that they produce behavior change. To continue in the vein of Bear, Wolf, and Risley's 1968 Vision for Applied Behavior Analysis, we must be conceptually systematic by ushering ACT into ABA through a behavior analytical conceptual understanding built on a firm foundation of behavioral principles. Tom Szabo is among the very few humans who have been leading the charge in developing a thoroughgoing behavior analytic approach to ACT, and his work over the past years shines through in the detailed, subtle, nuanced approach that this book offers. This book is not just about offering procedures. It is also about helping us understand the why and how that underlie effective ACT training in ABA, so that all of us can play a part in producing the next evolution of ACT in ABA. However, being conceptually sophisticated is not enough. What practitioners in ABA really need are tools that make sense and actually work in the real world. These tools are the heart and soul of this book. These tools will empower practitioners to take small but meaningful steps toward supercharging their practice with greater meaning, purpose, and presence. The listener might wonder, where did these practical tools come from? Tom has been training real-life practitioners in the field for many years, from the time he was a PhD student at the University of Nevada, Reno, under the tutelage of ACT co-founder, Dr. Stephen C. Hayes. Tom has trained people from a large variety of professions, across numerous settings and organizations. This breadth and depth of his experience led him to being recognized as a peer-reviewed ACT trainer by the Association for Contextual Behavioral Science. However, his first love has been training behavior analysts in ACT. Tom developed the first series of publicly available workshops specifically designed to train board-certified behavior analysts, BCBAs, in ACT, and he continues to provide ACT training, supervision, consultation, and mentorship worldwide. In these contexts, Tom had the opportunity to adopt existing ACT procedures that are freely available within the expansive contextual behavioral science community, adapt them for use with behavior analysts, develop new ones, evolve them all to fit into ABA contexts, and most importantly, develop a framework for customizing and creating entirely new ACT procedures with each ABA client, parent, or staff member in each unique session and moment. This may sound like a task of impossible complexity, but this book provides the framework for practitioners to carry this out in a digestible manner. Functional analysis, that is, an understanding of human behavior in terms of behavior-environment-functional relations, has been said to be the heart and soul of behavior analysis. Although ACT has always been a fundamentally functional analytical approach to behavior change, practical procedures for assessing the function of behavior have been missing from the ACT Inside ABA toolkit. Until now, Dr. Thomas Szabo has led a team of colleagues and mentees in developing a procedure for brief ACT functional analysis inside ABA for about 4 years now, including both research and practice, and the data have been promising. As this book goes to press, Several data-based manuscripts are undergoing review in peer-reviewed journals. This book presents practical guidance for ABA clinicians on how to implement the brief ACT functional analysis for the first time. A foreword for this book would not be complete without mentioning compassion. The field of ABA is currently experiencing something of a compassion revolution, or at least evolution. Practitioners everywhere yearn for deeper connection with the human beings they serve. Behavior analysts are taking a stand for putting kindness, human connection, and human dignity before science and data. The approach that this book offers allows us to have both. The perspective from which this book offers ACT training emphasizes serving other humans with respect, love, and humility, while also grounding our procedures in the hard science of behavioral principles of learning and motivation. In short, this book heeds our call to practice with love and science at the same time. Why this book and why now? The field of ABA is at a turning point. BCBAs have expressed a desire to learn more about ACT and enrich their ABA practice with ACT. Many dozens of books on ACT written for mental health practitioners are available and can be tremendously useful. Several ACT curricula for BCBAs have been published and are invaluable resources. But what has not been available, until now, is a manual that helps ABA practitioners, ourselves, develop ACT training skills that can then be applied across clients, behaviors, and curricula. This is that book. This book, implemented with practice across a variety of clients and circumstances, and when combined with training and mentorship, has the power to transform the daily practice of behavior analysts. The tools contained within this book can add greater meaning and purpose to what we do, help us connect with our clients on a deeper level, and empower us and our clients to let go of unhelpful struggles with private events and get into the work of acting toward our values. Implementing ACT inside ABA presents the field of ABA with a challenge and an opportunity that may be unique in the history of our field. History will be the judge, but it seems possible that adoption of ACT will be remembered as a major inflection point in the development of the field of ABA toward greater compassion and flexibility, greater effectiveness with clients with complex verbal repertoires, greater meaning and purpose experienced by us professionals and scientists, and greater openness to change and difference. We may look back on adopting ACT as a behavioral cusp at the level of the field of ABA, one that, when learned, will have opened our field to a much broader area to be helpful to others and a much greater power to serve. This book is just one piece of this evolution, but it is a critical piece because it has the potential to empower others. This book challenges researchers and practitioners in the field of ABA to not just hear about ACT, but also to take committed action toward implementing it with ourselves and with the humans we serve, one small but meaningful step at a time. Jonathan Tarbox, PhD, BCBAD, University of Southern California, and First Steps for Kids. Introduction. Welcome. If you are an applied behavior analyst, you have likely been trained by professionals committed to a scientific approach to ameliorating socially significant problems in learning and behavior. The strategies and tactics that your mentors taught you are probably based on observation of actual behavior, experimentation, and assumptions that behavior is lawful and orderly, that the effects of treatment are most useful when they can be replicated by repeating procedures within or between applications, that the outcomes can be explained parsimoniously or without recourse to complex or unseen variables, and that what seems too good to be true should be viewed with healthy skepticism. If these tenets are the basis of your current repertoire, you are among friends here. This is the Applied Behavior Analysis, ABA, that I came into and practiced today. At the same time, ABA is in the midst of rapid, unparalleled change. We are in the throes of a cultural paradigm shift brought on by the pandemic, the neurodiversity movement, unprecedented practitioner demand for cultural humility, diversity, equity, and inclusion in our institutions, and a groundswell of interest in compassion as it relates to parents, workers, teachers, and service recipients. Perhaps all of this has been in the works for some time, but it is coming into heightened and sustained focus as this book enters its final pre-publication phase. I truly hope these matters will be the stuff of constructive conversations and structural shifts in our field. To that end, Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, ACT, used judiciously by practitioners sensitive to the differences between ABA and talk therapy applications, may be an aid to the field as we attempt to respond to these challenges. I began using ACT in ABA over a decade ago and have trained thousands of behavior analysts over the years. Interest within the ABA community in ACT has been riding a wave I never imagined would swell in this manner when I first began using it and teaching it during my graduate school years, and the wave has not yet crested. To help the ABA community ride this wave, my research lab and I have developed and tested a series of strategies detailed in this book. The assessment strategies described in this volume range from indirect and descriptive ACT functional assessment to brief ACT experimental functional analysis, all within the context of direct contingency functional behavior assessment and analysis. Intervention strategies include detailed instruction on the way to capture subtle figurative uses of language that clients employ, a task analysis for using metaphors to create powerful ACT exercises in the moment with your clients, and ways to build imaginative group exercises scalable to the needs of those with different abilities. How to use this book? Depending where you are currently in your ACT training voyage, you may start at any part of this volume or listen to it straight through from beginning to end. There is no right way to use this manual or order in which to learn the skills. Most people will likely benefit from listening, completing the included exercises, and finding someone with whom to practice from time to time. Repeated practice is more important than the order in which you learn the component repertoires. There are many components, and after mastering any two of them, it would be wise to practice them together as a composite repertoire. Adding components systematically will be easiest if you continue to periodically practice mastered targets in broader contexts that require increasingly complex composite skills. Many beginners are pleased when they hear about a vibrant ACT metaphor or find a serviceable worksheet that they can use as is with clients. This is a great way to begin, and if you do not have access to training materials such as those found in this book, it is a solid way to try using ACT and observing how ACT exercises help others. But using pre-made materials, metaphors, and activities is not a sustainable way to practice ACT over time. Comprehensive protocols, too, are often sought by beginners. Protocols are important. Researchers need them to investigate certain kinds of empirical questions. But the tools used in research are not always helpful in applied practice. In clinical work, ABA involves the design of idiosyncratic interventions that meet the needs of individuals with their own unique learning issues. Developing metaphors based on the client's use of language in session and activities based on the interests of the client is the substance of skilled ACT practice. Alertness to changes in client behavior during your work together and the capacity to mold instruction to distinctive features of a client's repeated patterns of behavior is flexibility in context. It is modeling the very behavior you aim to evoke. In contrast, lockstep adherence to protocol, and the use of prepackaged materials sends a message that the therapist is unwilling to suffer the discomfort of trying out novel behavior in front of a client. It is unsurprising that in this context, clients derive that making bold new moves is too hard, too stressful. Moreover, ABA practitioners learning to use ACT are not generally meeting clients once a week for the 50-minute hour that is characteristic of most ongoing talk therapy relationships. ABA sessions are often several hours per day and possibly several days per week. In my current practice, I meet with certain parents several times a week for family guidance and their children with special needs a few additional times each week. To rely on the same short list of exercises and metaphors over and over again would be boring for everyone. Certainly the client would get bored, and so would I. The antidote, learning to catch metaphors in flight and throw them back in an ongoing game of ball toss, is exhilarating. It is a game in which the rules change as you play. Of course, it is a bit scary. You might not catch the ball. You might throw it over the client's head. Fortunately, the balls you are throwing are verbal, and you can always toss out another one of a different texture, color, temperature, or weight. This book is about learning to play catch, so to speak, with your clients. To teach you how to play this kind of game, in this book's free tools page at newharbinger.com/45816, you will find a series of practical exercises for learning to rapidly identify verbal behaviors that impede the control that contingencies of reinforcement exert upon overt performance. You will also find practices for learning to design unique interventions that you craft with your client in the moment. Many of the chapters include competencies and examples for you to use to gauge the areas you can learn on your own and those for which you need additional consultation and supervision. All the chapters include multiple examples relevant to the kinds of issues that most ABA practitioners encounter each day. Chapter 1 provides an overview of ACT in ABA, a working description and illustration of ACT used in an ABA context, and primers on the philosophy of science, research, and basic science that undergird ACT. Chapter 2 provides both lay and scientific ways of parsing the six repertoires that ACT suggests comprise psychological flexibility, the aim of ACT in practice. Chapter 3 details the approaches we have developed for indirect, descriptive, and experimental ACT functional assessment and analysis. This chapter includes exercises to help you develop your skills in this area. Chapter 4 provides an outline of one way that ACT assessment and intervention can be staged and evaluated. In Chapter 5, the ACT Matrix is introduced as a powerhouse behavior analytic ACT tool that can be helpful during both assessment and intervention work. Chapter 6 addresses the issue of how to evoke and capture clinically useful metaphor in client speech. Chapter 7 is an introduction to the use of engaging physical exercises that clients will remember and practice on their own to harness the long-term benefits of ACT. Chapters 8 through 13 cover the six ACT repertoires that comprise psychological flexibility. These chapters include competencies and exercises that will help you evaluate your current repertoire and need for further training. The competencies included herein are adapted from Luoma, Hayes, and Walser, 2017, Learning ACT, an Acceptance and Commitment Therapy Skills Training Manual for Therapists. I owe Jason Luoma, Steve Hayes, and Robin Walser a huge debt of gratitude for the work they put into developing this list of competencies. Chapter 14 covers the issue of scope of practice and scope of competence. All behavior analysts using this manual ought to listen to this chapter. A final section on what to do to continue your training after listening to and completing the exercises in this book ends the volume. As a final word of introduction, it is important to mention that you can practice ACT with others without first practicing ACT in your own life, but it will not likely go very well. I say this from experience. During my final years in graduate school, I became deeply enmeshed in a thought that I believed and repeated to myself often. I thought that I was an imposter. I thought I was about to be discovered as a fraud. If you are at all like me, and I suspect you are, then you have had those thoughts too. I dealt with the pain very poorly. I acted as though I was not thinking this way. I hid from the thoughts, and I hid them from my friends and colleagues. I continued to teach others about ACT, but I did not use ACT in my own life in any meaningful way. As a result, what Skinner, 1974, called my world within the skin became an echo chamber for my thoughts, in the presence of which I engaged in many self-destructive behaviors. I made repeated fruitless attempts at taking my own life, each increasingly more severe. I might have succeeded in ending my life had it not been for the help of my father and a few close friends. Things did not get better until I dropped the facade and started using ACT practices in my own life. I learned to embrace these thoughts and the emotions that came alongside them as though they were old friends that had once taught me ways to cope that were adequate in the past, but no longer helpful. I began the practice of returning my focus from the future I feared to the present I could experience, and observing my impressions of myself rather than managing others' impressions of me. I learned to ongoingly remind myself that what I was up to was bigger than me alone, and that if I could help just one person, then being honest and sharing what I was going through would be worth it. I learned to tremble and walk and stumble and fall and get up with my friends by my side, instead of trying to do it all by myself. This book is a vessel filled with these spirits of community, openness, and action. I hope that you will take a few sips from this chalice and see for yourself whether there is something here for you. And then I hope that you will share what you find here with others, if and when doing so may be of service to them. Chapter 1. ACT in ABA, The Research That Got Us Here, and an RFT Primer. ACT in ABA. During the last two decades, children with autism and related special needs have been the most widely recognized recipients of ABA services, due to successful public awareness campaigns and changes in physician training programs. Children with autism and other intellectual and developmental differences are now being referred to ABA treatment very early in their lives. As a result, the work ABA practitioners do can rapidly shift from early intensive behavioral intervention, EIBI, to academic, vocational, and social skills training. Practitioners today are often teaching skills that are at the high end or beyond the scope of VB-MAPP and ABLLS curricula. Clinics using the PEAK relational training system frequently advance learners to the higher level targets within just a few years of service. For example, it is not uncommon to find children with autism under the age of 9 who master receptive and expressive metonymical tact programs that call for pointing to or naming stimuli with uncommon names or programs that require inferences about others' thinking based on observable contextual cues. But these advances come with a price tag. When at the higher end of such educational programs, children are arriving to sessions saying, "I can see it now. They're not laughing with me, they're laughing at me." Older autistic people wrestle with making friends, maintaining them, forming, keeping, and ending romantic relationships, experiencing healthy and fulfilling sexual partnerships, and so on. Parents struggle too. During training sessions, parents and extended caregivers may lack focus as they try to decompress after the latest insult from a school administrator or the difficult commute to and from a dozen important doctor's offices. RBTs and BCABAs also suffer. Burnout is common among these workers who are struck.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?